We start this week the book of Corinthians, Paul's first epistle. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to verse 18, where Paul declares, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." What is the preaching of the cross? Paul declared, "The gospel that I preach unto you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." The preaching of the cross is that Jesus died for our sins according to the promises and the declarations that God had made in the scriptures concerning the Messiah that was to come. The prophet Isaiah said concerning the Messiah, "He was despised and rejected by man. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, God cried, he was smitten. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, but thou wilt make his soul an offering for sin." The prophet Daniel said, "70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the time of the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, unto the coming of the Messiah the Prince will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. And the walls shall be built even in troublous times. And after the 62 sevens, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself." The prediction that the Messiah would be cut off. The psalmist said, "I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint," as he spoke of the Messiah. "My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots on my vesture. The stone which the builders has refused has become the chief stone of the corner." The prophet Zechariah said concerning the Messiah, "They shall look on me whom they have pierced." Again he said, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." These scriptures give an interesting picture of the Messiah: despised, rejected, cut off, put to death, his soul an offering for sin, hands and feet pierced, again rejected, And the scriptures thus declare that he was the sacrificial Lamb of God that was offered as a sin offering for man. When John the Baptist introduced Jesus to his disciples, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Now, this is why, though, the cross of Christ was a stumbling block to the Jew. Because there are other scriptures that speak of the glorious eternal reign of the Messiah. In Psalm 132, the Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it, of the fruit of thy body will I set on the throne. In Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it in judgment and in justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It talked about the Messiah, the son of David, reigning forever. The Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, ruling over the earth. So the cross was a stumbling block to the Jew. How can the Messiah be despised and rejected? How can the Messiah be put to death? How can he be made an offering for sin if he is to reign forever over the house of David? Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and will execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Ezekiel said, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he will feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." And yet, the prophet Zechariah said, "Smite the shepherd." Ezekiel said, "I am the Lord. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." Ezekiel 37:25, "And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever." Amos the prophet wrote, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and I'll close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this." So the thought of the Messiah being crucified, dying on a cross, was unthinkable in the mind of the Jew. It was a stumbling block, the preaching of the cross, because they were expecting their Messiah, the descendant of David, to rule over the world in righteousness and in peace forever. And so the preaching of the cross, a stumbling block to the Jew. But to the Greek, and to those that perish, it was foolishness. The idea that one man could die for all men's sin, that through death could come life, To the Jew, that was just, to the Greek, that was just foolishness. You see, the Greek concepts of God, and they had many, for they had many gods. In none of their concept of God did they ever conceive of a loving God who would give himself for man. As you read Greek mythology, you find that their gods are very self-centered. They are very selfish. They use their supernatural powers to take advantage over man. And they subjugate man by their powers. But not in Greek mythology do you ever come to an understanding of a God of love. A God who is willing to give himself because of his love. And that concept of God to the mind of the Greek was foolish. You remember when Paul was preaching there in Athens, they said, what is this babbler going to say? And they invited him to Mars Hill, and there he addressed the Epicurean philosophers. And when he started to talk to them about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, they began to mock him. That's foolishness to the Greek. The idea that a man could give life to others by his dying was something they just couldn't accept. The preaching of the cross, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, to the Jew, a stumbling block. The cross was a real stumbling block. To the Greeks, so much foolishness. But Paul said, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Romans, Paul wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. John tells us concerning Jesus, but as many as believed in him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It is the power of God, the preaching of the cross, the power of God unto salvation. In the beginning, the Bible tells us that God warned Adam that if he was to eat of the tree there in the midst of the garden, he would surely die. And so we read, by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, for death passed unto all men, for all sinned. God declared, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. God declared, the wages of sin is death. So that mankind was sentenced to death because all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the preaching of the cross is that Jesus, as a sacrificial sin offering, gave his life on the cross that we might be forgiven of our sin and thus be freed from the penalty of sin, which is death. By believing in Jesus Christ, you receive the forgiveness of all of the sins that you have ever committed. God laid on him the iniquities of us all. For the transgressions of the people, he was smitten. That message of the cross, how do you view it today? Are you like the Greeks? It just doesn't make sense. It's so much foolishness. Or are you like the Jew? Does it stumble you? You see, the talking about the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of our sins stumbles a lot of people. There are a lot of churches even that have taken from their hymnal all of the songs that refer to the blood of Jesus. Songs such as, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And they've gone through and have taken out of their hymnals any song that makes reference to the blood of Jesus. They say it's an offense to them. They're offended by that thought. The fact that Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood as a sin offering, do you find that offensive? Or are you among those fortunate ones and you have discovered the power of God to save you from the destruction of sin by your believing in the death of Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for you and for your sins? Note, it is foolishness to those that are perishing. If you look at it today as so much foolishness, it is only that you are perishing, you are being destroyed by your sins. We are told that God is not willing that any should perish. He desires that all should come to repentance. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God called, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" God's lament over the nation. God calling to them to repent, to turn from their sins. For why will you die? Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish." To them who look at the cross of Christ as so much foolishness, it is because they are perishing in their sins. To believe in Jesus Christ is not to perish, but to have everlasting life. And believing that he died on the cross to save you from your sin, believing that he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he was the sacrificial lamb. You see, in the Old Testament, when a person would sin, they would bring a lamb to the priest. They would put their hands on the head of the lamb, and they would confess their sins. And in a mystical sense, they felt that they were transferring their sins onto that lamb. As they held the head of the lamb and confessed their sins, there was a transfer of their sins over to the lamb. And having confessed then their sins as they held the head of the lamb, the priest then would kill the lamb and he would take the blood and offer it as a sacrifice for their sins, whereby it said there was made the kofar, or the covering of their sins. John said concerning Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He became the sacrificial lamb. Our sins were transferred to him. He then died in our place. That's the preaching of the cross. And to those that are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God that has set me free from the bondage of sin. And believing is a matter of choice. You choose to believe that, or you choose not to believe it. And your intellect has nothing to do with the choice. It is not an intellectual choice. You may say foolishness, but that's not an intellectual choice. That's just a choice that you have made. And the reason why you call it foolishness is because you love the sin in which you are living. Jesus, in talking to Nicodemus, said that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And whoever believed in him was not condemned. But whoever did not believe in him was actually already condemned because he didn't believe in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that they loved the darkness rather than the light. And they would not come to the light because their deeds were evil. So you may make up a lot of flimsy excuses for rejecting the preaching of the cross. But the bottom line reason for your rejection is your love for your sin. Your unwillingness to give up your sin, even though it is destroying you. The preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness. To the Jew, it's a stumbling block. But to us who have found the power of God to be freed from the power of sin, to us who have experienced that rush of God's Spirit in our lives, that strength of God's Spirit daily. It's the power of God unto salvation. I've been set free. I've been delivered from those things that were destroying me through the power of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the cross unto those that are saved, God's power. What is it to you? As you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, do you think of it as foolish, the preaching of the cross? Does it stumble you? Or are you among those who have discovered the power, the forgiveness of sins, the power over sin, the gift of eternal life through him? Father, we give thanks today for the cross of Jesus Christ, who there gave himself to redeem man from the power of sin, to set man free from those things that were destroying. And Lord, we thank you that you have set us free today. Free to love you, free to serve you, free to walk in fellowship with you. Lord, as we consider the cross of Jesus Christ, what it implies and what it means, as we see him as our substitute dying in our place as he bore the guilt of our sin, Lord, how do our hearts respond? Is it in loving surrender and submission, thanksgiving, worship and praise? or are we offended? Do we throw it off as so much foolishness? Oh, God, speak to us. And let the message of the cross speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we stand. The message of the cross is that you today can be set free from the power of sin that is destroying you. You today can be forgiven any and every sin that you have ever committed. You today can go home with a clean conscience and a clean slate, for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. That's what the preaching of the cross declares. You don't have to bear the guilt of your past sins any longer. You can be totally freed today. You don't have to go on and continue in those things that are destroying you. You can be set free today. The preaching of the cross is a message of hope for men who find themselves bound in the grip and the power of sin. It's a message of hope to those who are being destroyed by the sin in their lives. You can be free. Jesus died to set you free. It's the power of God to salvation to those that believe. And I'd encourage you, go back to the prayer room. And there just kneel before the Lord. Start the new year with a new life, a new relationship with God, experiencing the power of God to save and to deliver. Pastors and counselors will be back there in the prayer room to pray with you and to help you discover the power of God unto salvation. May the Lord be with you. May He watch over you. May you begin this new year in fellowship with Him, experiencing the joy of living for the Lord and walking with Him in that newness of life that we've experienced in Christ Jesus. And may the joy of the Lord be your strength day by day as you put your trust and your confidence and your faith in Him. In Jesus' name.